I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Midnight, straight up here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lou Gower.
Lukey.
It is after hours. We finally have arrived. It is Thursday. It is June 18th. And that means one thing. It is parade day. The ticker tape parade down the Canyon of Heroes. For our beloved New York Knicks, I expect 3 to 5 million people to show up, show out. Knick fans will be outside. It is going to be a party the likes we have never seen in this great party city. And programming note, don't miss Evan and Tiki live from City Hall for tomorrow's ticker tape parade starting at 10 a.m. It's all brought to you by Kalshi. Trade on anything. Evan and Tiki will be there right outside City Hall. Yours truly will be bouncing around. I'm sure I'll be on the show at some point. I don't know how long I'll be on the show, but I would imagine the guys will pop me on to make fun of me and to celebrate the Knicks and to just give the flowers to this team that so deserves it, because it is a team, it is a run, it is a franchise that they put together here and a group that they put together, led by James Dolan, hiring Leon Rose, and brick by brick by brick, Leon Rose has built a champion and a team that you feel confident going forward can repeat, which is difficult to do in the NBA, but the Knicks are certainly set up that way with the squad that they have, especially when you consider the core will be back. And also a team that, if next year, all right, but the year after that, they certainly have a nice 3 to 5 year window where they can win a championship, another championship. And that gives you optimism going forward. By the way, our digital team has arrived, so they're not going to get any sleep. They're here doing what digital people do, which is talk about digital. I just saw them in the hallway. So our digital team is ready to go. All hands on deck, boots on the ground. Tomorrow, which is now today, as the clock has struck midnight here, thankfully not on the Knicks, but on Wednesday, it's now Thursday, and that means one thing. It is parade day. We'll be out there. Evan and Tiki will be out there 10 a.m. till 2 at the end of the parade route. Either way, tomato, tomato. And then, of course, the big ceremony emceed by Mike Breen. The keys to the city for the Knicks. All the big speeches. The party will just be getting going, though, because even though the parade and the ceremony ends, you know how New York rolls. 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon, we are literally just getting started, and I expect a 12, 13, 14-hour-plus celebration on Thursday mixed in with the World Cup. It is just going to be a very, very, very wild and crazy in all the best ways type of day in New York today. Let's go to Sam in Seaside Heights. What's up, Sam? Yes. All right, we'll get Sam. I feel like when I go to call, sometimes I'm interrupting them. They're doing their kind of their thing. He might be on the toilet or brushing his teeth. So we'll see if Sam is better for later. Let's go to Joe in Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Tommy. What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Good. My father works in I don't live in this. I used to live in Brooklyn, but I now live right outside the city. My father works in NYU by First Avenue, and he doesn't understand the fact that tomorrow he should not go in.
Say this again. You don't think your father should go into work?
No, my father doesn't understand the fact that it will be impossible for him to get in.
Yeah, impossible. Or just incredibly
however,
difficult.
He is saying, though, it's only First Avenue. There's so it'll be more downtown.
There's a domino effect, though.
Where's the chaos?
Domino effect.
And by the way, Martin Garrix is a Knicks fan.
He is. Well, where is he? I never see him at Madison Square Garden. Why isn't he? I know he's very busy. He's touring basically 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
But I would like to have seen him. Now, maybe he has been there and I just haven't noticed or anything like that.
No, he hasn't been. He hasn't been in games. But
yeah,
I saw he put out on his Instagram the clip when he did his thing in Barclays Center the other You know, like, Hillary, shout out Nixon 5.
Yeah, because he performed there. He was performing on Saturday, yeah. Right? Yeah. He had a couple shows there.
He was performing for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You went in then? I know you wanted to go.
Yeah, I didn't end up making it, unfortunately. I have seen him several times, but I wasn't able to make it work, obviously, with the Knicks and everything going on. My sole focus and energy is on this basketball team and working here. So if it was a month later, 2 months later, I definitely would have been there, but the timing of it just wasn't beneficial for me and my schedule right now.
By the way, my father is so out of basketball. It's no idea. He got offered, from his work, he got offered courtside tickets to a Miami Heat game in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And he fell asleep courtside.
No, he did not. How does one fall asleep courtside? There's so much action, the bright lights, the noise. I could see maybe if you're up in the boardies.
He was just offered tickets. I could be his courtside.
No, but I understand not caring. Also, too.
He fell asleep.
Yeah, but also.
He couldn't care less.
He fell asleep at 8 o'clock at night?
I guess so.
He was that bored?
Took like a Trump nap. Just fell asleep.
little shut-eye, little cat nap, a little resting the eyes, as some people would say.
Like, he fell asleep like in the middle of the first quarter. I woke up by halftime.
Well, that's not too bad. Hopefully he wasn't there the night that Adebayo had all those points. That would have been some game to sleep through. I would imagine it was just a ho-hum regular season game, though.
Right, and we make fun of him because there's three arenas, really, where courtside is like a big thing. It's like New York, Miami, and L.A.
L.A., yeah, of course. Yep.
If you sit courtside there, you're like a big guy.
Yeah, and you're going to be shown on TV all the time. You're going to be rubbing elbows with these big-time celebrities. It's a huge deal. And your father obviously didn't feel the same way that most of us would, and he decided to take a little siesta, a little nap.
He doesn't know, like, he's more like, he's an old-school guy. He doesn't like everyone. If you point out, like, Taylor Swift, Timothy Chalamet, and...
You have no idea.
I don't know. All these people, I have no idea who these people are.
Yeah, he's looking for Bette Midler in the crowd. Now, my thing is he bored or is he just have the... Because I admire somebody with all that going on, the ability to fall asleep.
No, he just, his boss gave him tickets and whatever. He just like did it for him.
No, but I'm saying though, for me, I need almost optimum type of environment to go to sleep unless I'm insanely tired. So I'm talking lights off. I need a loud noise, whether it's an air conditioner or a white noise or a fan or something like that. I need to be on a comfy bed. Like, I can't just be courtside at a basketball game and all of a sudden go to sleep. So I admire that about your old man, that he's got the ability to tune everything out.
He does wake up at 4 a.m. He does wake up at 4 a.m.
Well, that helps.
I mean,
you're waking up at 4 a.m., assuming you don't take a nap, by 7, 8 o'clock, that's a long time. You've been up for a while.
Right. And he doesn't understand the fact that the whole city's going to be nuts.
He's
saying, oh, it's only First Avenue.
Joe, that's where you gotta, and that's for Joe's dad, that's for anybody's dads or moms or brothers or sisters or friends that are feeling their oats and saying, you know what, I can go into the city today. I would not, unless you were attending the parade or you absolutely have to be in, obviously if you needed to be there for your job, but if you have the ability to take a sick day, an off day, or work from home,
he could.
I would advise doing that. I would strongly advise
from home. He works from home all the time. Just recently, last like week or so, he couldn't go into work. He has to like be in the office, but he could technically work from home. He said, oh, but I have to be in the office. Like, if you could work from home. Like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, unless maybe if your office...
5 hours honestly, getting to the parking lot.
Yeah, if your office was on the parade route, that would be kind of cool, because then you take part in the ticker tape part of it. You are part of the parade. That's a great experience. Nobody's
right,
actually going to be working.
Care.
Yeah.
He showed him the Knicks game on Saturday night.
Yeah.
He was like...
Well, he fell asleep.
What do you do when he doesn't know basketball?
Yeah.
Like, we have to explain to him how to... I'm not even such a big basketball guy, but even me, I have to explain to him... So you can only shoot for 24 seconds once you have the ball. He's completely lost.
Well, he's lost because the one time he was there at a basketball game, he decided that he'd rather sleep than watch it. He'd rather go to sleep. I'm so fascinated by that. People that have the ability to do that, my wife is kind of wired that way. Like, we were sitting on the couch the other night, and I said, hey, listen, some stuff's about to come on. Some games are about to come on. I'm going to watch it. She goes, well, this is supposed to be kind of our night to hang out. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, but I think you're going to fall asleep any minute. She goes, what are you talking about? Meanwhile, 20 minutes later, she's out sleeping. It's like the lights are on. It's not exactly ideal or great conditions to fall asleep, but there are plenty of people that don't need those. I, for one, do, unless I am. That's why I'm never afraid of falling asleep on a train or, God forbid, driving or anything crazy like that. Because I'm not somebody that falls asleep easily. I'm not. unless I've had a very, very long night, if you catch my drift, or I didn't get a lot of sleep throughout the week. Like, early this week, I got no sleep. You could hear it in my voice, or at least I could hear it in my voice, that's for sure. Saturday into Sunday, Sunday into Monday, I was not exactly operating on a ton of sleep. So I was tired, but still, I'm not going to fall asleep courtside at a basketball game. Neil is in the Bronx here on After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night on the Fan. What's going on, Neil?
Hey, what's going on, Loogie? I want to ask you, I seen an article about this guy, Bobby Portis. He used to play for the Knicks.
Okay.
And that the Spurs are trying to deal for him to make their team stronger. How good was he? Because I don't really remember, you know, but he has a $43 million three-year contract, so he must be pretty good.
Yeah, listen, he blossomed with the Bucks. He was a part of that championship team. What year did they win? I forgot what year they won, but he has been a good player for them, a good three-point shooter. And look, the Spurs are going to get better. They won in 21, the Bucks. They're going
now,
to
get... If they get him, do you think they could...
No, I don't think he's a missing piece or a guy that's going to put them over the hump or make them better than the Knicks. But I will say this, they do need veterans, the Spurs. They do need guys that have championship experience that can knock down threes, and they need depth. Look, San Antonio is going to improve their basketball team, but they're still young, right. They're still immature, and they still, especially Wemby, have to prove that they can get it done in the clutch. But Portis, look, he's getting, like I said, he's getting up there a little bit now, you know, 31. But he's a guy that can contribute, no doubt. But he blossomed in Milwaukee.
And is Wimby like ever going to mature?
No.
Do you think?
No, probably not. He's been coddled by the media and the NBA so much that I think they've created a monster. And his actions in this finals and really throughout the playoffs was at times appalling. You know, whether it's an elbow to Naz Reid.
This is the person he's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Neil. You know what? You are what you are. Sometimes, yeah, you could always attribute it to age. Yeah, I'm just young and I'm dumb and all that stuff. But sometimes the same things you're doing at 23, you start doing at 33, and you realize, well, age had nothing to do with it. It's just my personality.
So he's not going to be, like, he probably won't. Well, with that kind of attitude, they get better. But I find it hard to see them winning another championship with that kind of behavior on a team. Because it doesn't seem like they'll have a cohesiveness with somebody that wants to be coddled.
But sometimes, though, with the amount of talent they have, they could get themselves in an advantageous year where maybe at the Western Conference down, they get a weak opponent in the finals. And just based on sheer athleticism, will, talent, all those things, they're able to put it together and win a championship. You're right in the sense that you want that DNA, because that's what the Knicks have. The Knicks have that championship DNA. They're one unit.
Yeah.
They're cohesive. They have a ton of heart. They play together. They're connected. And that's the reason they're champions.
Team.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct. They're a team.
And the other thing is the guy that...
Give me a hint, Neil. Just give me a hint. If you give me one hint,
right.
I guarantee I'll get it. Give me a hint.
All right. It has to do with the Spurs, and it has to do with,
That's not really a good
Hill. All right,
Yeah.
Not Hill. Is it Hill?
No, it's not.
Who's the guy that's the rookie with the big...
Dylan Harper.
Bushy hair? Oh.
Dylan Harper.
Not Harper, the other guy.
Champagne?
Not Champagne.
So, okay, so what's the point, though? We can't go through
the roster. Guy with the big hair. The big hair...
What's the point, though?
Oh, the point is that I think he's going to be a really good player. And I think he's like a second year. He's like 22.
Dylan Harper's who you think you're talking about here. Well, Stephon Castle's another guy. I mean, Dylan Harper's a rookie. He's 20 years old. So I think he's going to be great.
And he was amazing in them finals.
Absolutely.
To me.
But Neil, you're very hung up on the Spurs. I don't know, I appreciate the conversation,
but
you feel like that's going to be a team the Knicks are going to contend with
like
the next couple years?
I don't like them.
You don't like them. I got it. You got beef.
Right.
I see.
I got beef.
Got
and
beef.
I personally think that they wouldn't have won had OKC been stronger. The Knicks would have beat either team.
I agree, Neil. I do. And I think that the Thunder would have... been a lot more ready for the moment in the finals, obviously, because they won the championship the year prior. They have more veteran leadership. They're battle-tested. It really lined up, and I said it on January 2nd. We played the audio for you guys earlier in the week. Evan Atiki played the audio for you earlier in the week. On January 2nd, we were doing our long-term predictions, and Evan had said, I think a team in New York will win a championship in 2026, and Tiki and I looked at each other, we connected the dots, and I said, literally on the air, Evan knows the Spurs own the Thunder, they're going to beat OKC in the playoffs, San Antonio is, and then when they get to the finals and face the Knicks, their inexperience is going to be their undoing, and the Knicks will win. And that's exactly what happened.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
If it was OKC, I don't think they would have, in all likelihood, blown a 29-point lead. But with this Knicks team, it's hard to say for certain they wouldn't have. But you would think a team like the Thunder that has experience, they won a championship, they would have not done what De'Aaron Fox did, and that is go down the court, try to make a layup instead of pulling the ball out in game four and getting fouled. And at the very least, giving the Spurs a situation where the Knicks had to change a little bit of their strategy late in the game. It opened the door completely and gave the Knicks another opportunity to just win it in regulation. Let's go to Mark in Tom's River here on The Fan. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Tommy? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing amazing. How you doing?
I'm doing amazing. It's so good to talk to you. First of all, because I show the same love for EDM as you do, and I'm rocking those EDMs after the Knicks won that championship. There is nothing like it.
Nothing like it, yeah.
That's first of all. Second of all, I just want to talk about, I feel like this is not something that's being spoken about, but I feel like you could really learn a life lesson from this entire Knicks run in its entirety. From the fact that these days, the superstars in the NBA, they are not devoted on both sides of the floor. I feel like most of the Knicks superstars, they're two-dimensional players. They play offense and they play defense. And they hustle, and they're a gritty team. And I feel like people, as fans, should just observe this team, and they should see that if you're motivated on both sides of the floor, offensively and defensively, and you play both sides of the basketball with real commitment, and you just put up and shut up, that's where it's going to get you places in life. And I feel like, honestly, like me as a young guy that's going to go into the work field one day, that's going to be my commitment, is just shut up and put up good numbers and don't let anybody tell you what to do. That's just what I felt like from this Knicks run. I don't know. What do you have to say about that, Tommy?
Yeah, a couple things I agree with you there. A couple things I could push back on. What I do agree with you is that this team, this Knicks team, has a ton of heart. They have a ton of grit. They have a ton of determination. And they have this never say quit, never say die attitude. And that's one of the reasons I was so confident in this team, especially in the finals, because when they kept getting down and down and down, I didn't think there was a lead large enough for the Spurs to hold on to, and the Knicks proved that because every game the Spurs had a double-digit lead, and the Spurs only ended up winning one game in the entire series.
Yep.
I do think the Spurs players play both ends of the floor. I do think the Thunder have a lot of guys that play both ends of the floor, but I do hear you. The Knicks have a lot of great two-way players, Cat, Bridges, Anunoby.
But Tommy, just you got to look at the Cavaliers, the stars on the team, Harden.
Oh, they're
Harden.
A joke. Yeah, Harden.
Yeah, they went Philadelphia also, Embiid, Paul George, Maxey.
Yep.
These guys are all about getting buckets. You have to play two sides of the floor also. It's so important. Tommy, I just want to ask you one more question before you hang up on me. Here's my question to you. What do you think happened in Game 5 that Brunson got anywhere he wanted on the floor? You look at the first four games of that series, he was completely shut down.
Yep.
Do you think the Spurs just quit, or do you think Brunson had something else extra in him? I think the Spurs just quit. It was fascinating to me that in Game 5, all of a sudden, he got wherever he wanted to on the floor, anywhere. It blew my mind away. I was shocked.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a combination of everything. Not to sit on the fence, but because I don't think it's a black and white type of answer. I do think there is some shades of gray here. Brunson was, in my opinion, not the MVP going into Game 5. I thought it was Anunoby. I thought Cat was the MVP after two games. I thought OG was the MVP after four games. I thought Brunson had some moments, but overall was not having the greatest of series. Even though the stats were there, points and things of that nature, I didn't think Brunson was the MVP going into Game 5. And then in Game 5, he had one of the great games, performances we've ever seen in the history of the finals. and in a closeout game to boot, scoring nearly half of his team's points, which is Michael Jordan-esque. I don't know if the Spurs quit, but it's what I said going into the series. Now, I phrased it beg for mercy, but I think he had a young team that just, they had a strategy against Jaylen, and I think they realized in Game 5, this series is probably over. So if we win this game, great. We'll get off to this great start. And once it got down to the fourth quarter and the Knicks started to make their run, I think San Antonio was like, dude, nothing we can do here is going to stop this team. It's their year. We had an awesome season, we being the Spurs. We got to the finals. We knocked off the Thunder. We did it in their building. This Knicks team is a different beast, a different animal. It's their year. They are so focused, laser focused. Let's just get the heck out of here. And I think Brunson also was just like, I'm not going to let my team lose. Because remember, OG foul trouble wasn't effective in Game 5. Cat foul trouble wasn't effective in Game 5. Same thing in Game 4 for Cat. Brunson realized, hey, if I don't put this team on my back, if I don't put the cape on, and we've seen this before from him, playoffs, regular season, there are nights where he just wills the team to victory. He just says, you know what, I got to put up 40 tonight for us to win, and that's exactly what they needed, 45 from Brunson, in an all-time playoff performance from JB. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn here on After Hours. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Tommy, how are you?
Great, how you doing?
Love your show every night. Listen to it in bed for a long time.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
A few points. First of all, I'm 15 or 16 years old, so I've been following the Knicks for a few years. The last 2 years.
Boy, hey, listen, Sam, you're lucky because I was the same way in a sense when I started watching basketball. I grew up on the 90s Knicks, and they were good. At times, great, but they never won a championship. So for you to get in here where the Knicks started on this run a couple years ago and now getting to see a championship at your stage, early stages of your life, is awesome. You get to see something that a lot of people waited 53 years for to see it again, and some of us, like me, a lifetime, 40-something years. So that's cool that you got in on the ground floor at a young age here. You're still young, and were able to see this entire run play out.
Yeah, 2 years ago, in the playoffs last year, watching the Eastern Conference Finals was horrible. This year, we were with my friends. We go to their house every night. A game when they came back 29 points, we were screaming. His brother woke up. His father's upset. We're jumping, screaming. It was great. Another point also, tomorrow, we just realized that the entire half of New York's going to be blocked up. The Bronx are going to be packed because of the Yankees game. Knicks, the home run is going to be shut. And New Jersey also is going to be shut. I was thinking about, I might go to Yankees game tomorrow night. You think there's going to be any traffic going through for the parade, or it's going to be over by then?
No, it'll be way over by then. You're good. If you're looking for travel type of issues, you're talking about morning commute, midday commute, and then obviously there's always traffic when we're talking about commuter hours in rush hour in the afternoon, which is what you're going to hit. But it's not going to be parade traffic. It's just going to be more commuter traffic, although I don't think there'll be as many commuters. There'll still be a lot, but not as many as normal because a lot of people, I think, Sam, are going to stay home tomorrow because they know getting into the city early on for their job is just going to be damn near impossible, especially if you work in the lower part of Manhattan.
Right. Also, right after one of the finals, I was talking to a friend outside. His dad comes out and he's like, you can actually come to my office. My office is 2 blocks away from the machine. Come watch the parade. So we're like, yeah, let's go. It'd be crazy hype. And we realized in lower Manhattan, we're just like, eh, it's not going to happen. We're not going to go. It's going to be crazy. But you think anything's going to be after MSG tomorrow or totally not?
Say that one more time. Do I think what?
Is going to be things outside MSG or it's totally far from there and it's not
going to happen? Sam, here's what I would say. Yes, the parade route is going to be crazy, but there will be spillage afterwards. So there will be things going on. And I'm sure there'll be watch parties too, not a lot, but there'll be some people just kind of hanging, watching the parade from wherever, so you can get involved with that. But it's a day to just be in the city too. Even if you're not totally near the parade, if you're somewhat close, there'll be some, I think, some fun interactions going on because there's going to be a lot of people that think, oh, I'm going to stroll over there around 9, 10 o'clock, 10:30, and they're going to be SOL. They're not going to be able to see anything, and then they'll probably just kind of go on their merry way, hang out a little bit closer to the parade, and just enjoy all the sights and sounds of New York City and what is going to be just a monumental day. That's just my feeling on that. But yeah, if you are, and it sounded like it was going to be the case, but not totally once you found out where the parade was going to be. If you're lucky enough to either know somebody or have a business somewhere along the path of this parade, that's the best. Then you don't have to deal with the crowds. You don't have to deal with the weather. You don't have to deal with anything. You're just vibing. You're part of the ticker tape portion of it. And that, to me, is the best seat in the house because there's not going to be anybody in front of you. And you have a high vantage point. So if you are lucky enough to be in that situation, that's awesome. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. It's After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugan the Late Night here on The Fan. Let's go to Antonio in Levittown. What's up, Antonio?
Lugie!
What do you hear? What do you say? What's up, man?
What's up, man? This is probably the best week of my entire life. This is, I'm going to the parade tomorrow. Probably going to wake up around 3 a.m. I know you said I should be sleeping right now, but I feel like I'm just way too fired up for this.
Yeah, and I love the way you said it. You're like, I'm probably going to wake up at 3 a.m., which is also 2.5 hours from now. It's not like 8 hours. You probably could have said I'm going to wake up in an hour, although you haven't even gotten to sleep yet. But I get it, dude. Not a lot of people are going to sleep tonight. I'm barely going to get sleep. I'm probably not going to get any sleep. I know the digital staff is here. They're not sleeping. So there's going to be a lot of people like us, Antonio, that maybe get an hour of sleep if we're lucky.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I was going over the rules, like, kind of like the rules of, like, basically, like, no bags. You can't bring, no bags, no cooler, like, all this stuff. Like, I can't believe that you can't even bring a bag with you. I was just kind of shocked at that part.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe safety, maybe space, I'm not sure. But if you think about it, just have your phone, have your wallet, have your bare essentials, and then go from there. I get it, maybe some things you need to put in the bag, sunscreen or something like that. But I can understand why they're doing it, certainly if it's a safety thing and it's hard to police this sort of stuff, even though there's going to be 10,000 police officers. That's probably their thought process. But you know what? This is part of it. If you're going to go to a major event like this, you got to play by the rules of the city. That's for sure.
Yeah, and for sure. I mean, I'm a big Giants fan, so I've waited, I mean, how many years is that? Like 15 years since the last parade. Yeah. So, I mean, this is definitely going to be a big one. And I had another quick question. I don't know if you heard Dolan's interview with Craig and McDonald.
I heard most of it.
McGonagall.
Yeah, McGonagall. Yeah.
McGonagall. So he mentioned not going over that second apron.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah, that's just a little... I don't know if he meant like staying under the second apron or not going over. I was just kind of confused at that point.
Yeah, I think he meant not going over it, Antonio. I appreciate the call. Get some rest, bud. And obviously, if they do want to run it back with every single player, they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to get into the second apron. If that's something they're unwilling to do, then I think you're going to see some bench players move on. And some new faces come in here, and hopefully those new faces are, and I trust Leon Rose, and they could do this through the draft, although it'd be tough, but this is where other guys that were young players that they developed, Kolek, Diawara, Huck Porty, could get bigger minutes if they feel like those guys are ready. Because if you draft a guy, they're not going to be playoff contributors, but regular season-wise, they can be. If you're going to bring in vets, you just hope that they have that fight, that grit, that will to win, that want, and in all likelihood they will, because they're going to attract those veterans that are on the backstage of their career, still have a little bit left in the tank, and they want to win a championship. Because now New York, the Knicks, are a desirable location where for years they weren't. Now, everybody and their mother is going to want to be on the Knicks. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. Let's go to Mike in Cortland. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing, bud?
Hey, what's going on?
So, as a Knicks fan, okay, I'm obviously glad they won. But, man, the Spurs lost that series more than the Knicks won it. Have I told you? Let me ask you something. I mean, this series was such an anomaly. If I told you before the series, it's going to go 5 games, Spurs are going to have a double-digit lead in every game, and they're going to be leading by 29 in one game. How much would you have put on the Spurs? to win the series.
Well, when you phrase it that way, it certainly sounds like the Spurs won it in five, especially with that one game being a 29-point lead for them.
Now, the Knicks won, obviously. Now,
yeah,
the Spurs, each game, the Spurs came out smoking. They shut. They guarded Brunson baseline to baseline.
Yes.
Knicks couldn't find the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they decided this is working. We need to do something else. The Spurs, the coach. I mean, what was the coaching doing? How do you not do that the whole game? The Knicks could not get a shot. Wembanyama, okay, as much as a cheap shot artist he is, but he's a tremendous talent. The amount of energy he expends on defense. The Knicks couldn't get an interior shot. The Spurs were able to guard all the Knicks three-point shooters. One of them went by them. Wemby was there, okay? If they passed to the guy that Wemby was guarding, that guy wasn't going to shoot a layup because, again, Wemby was there again. He's such an intimidator inside.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Spurs,
that's where he could dominate the game, Wemby, defensively. Not so much offensively yet. He doesn't really have a low post move yet. He doesn't really have a go-to move. But defensively, Wemby can dominate a game. But you nailed it there, Mike. Wemby just uses so much energy both ends of the floor, and he doesn't have the right body weight yet. He tires, and he tired a lot late in these games, and that's where the Knicks were able to take advantage of it offensively, because once Wemby is kind of tired and a non-factor on defense, the Spurs can be exploited.
The Knicks weren't getting any open threes because their guy didn't have to leave them, because if they yeah. Wemby was there,
yeah,
it didn't matter. So they just stood their ground.
Right, but the one thing I'll say, Mike, where I disagree with you is the Knicks won this series just as much as the Spurs lost this series. Certainly this inexperience of San Antonio, especially late in the game, they weren't able to execute. The Knicks were, but that's a credit to them. That's a credit to their experience. That's a credit to Jalen Brunson, their coaching staff, and their never-say-die attitude.
I'll say this also. The Knicks got nothing from their bench.
In game five.
Okay, Brunson. Yeah. They got nothing from their bench for the most part.
Nah, Alvarado. What do you mean this throughout the entire
Alvarado, that's it.
He had an awesome game four.
Not Shamit, not McBride.
McBride was awful in the finals, no doubt. But throughout the run, they got a lot out of their bench.
Yeah, so but the Spurs, if you're the Spurs, you got to say to you, I don't care how young you are, you got to go home after this series, and you got to say, what the hell happened? I mean, are you going to get, you're going to come back? I mean, how are you going to come back? That series, they should have won.
You know what, Mike? I got to ask you a question here, and it's okay. You don't have to necessarily. Are you a Knicks fan?
Of course.
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out why in the day of the parade you're worried about the Spurs and how they pulled the series.
No. I'm just being honest. I'm looking at it from a no fan standpoint.
No, but
I'm looking at that series.
But
I'm saying to myself, if you're watching that series as a basketball fan.
Yeah, but we're not watching it as basketball fans. We're watching it as Knicks fans. So I gave you a little bit of time there, but after a while, it's like, we're watching it as basketball fans. I don't care if the Spurs blew leads. What is that to me? We're not IBOs here, independent basketball observers. We're Knicks fans. The Spurs' inexperience showed, especially down the stretch. Their ability to, or inability to have that go-to player late in games, I think it's going to be Dylan Harper when it's all said and done. Obviously, Mitch Johnson disagrees with that for right now. He also had a horrible series, Mitch Johnson. Yeah, the Spurs definitely blew a lot of opportunities, but the Knicks took advantage of it, where the Thunder didn't. The Spurs, if you watch the Western Conference Finals, which I did, they got off to big leads every game there too. I think they had the lead after every first quarter, or at worst, it was tied. So they did the same thing to the Thunder that they did to the Knicks. The difference is the Thunder weren't able to come back in those games. Due to a lack of firepower, they had a bunch of injuries. And then in Game 7, you know, Chet Holmgren was completely spooked by Wemby and had a totally gutless performance. I don't think in any way the Knicks were lucky, but guess what? If they were, you take it. Who cares? You win a championship by any means necessary. And this team was historical, the Knicks, dominant. The comeback kids, whatever you want to phrase it. And you're a Knicks fan, Mike, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have your opinion in about a week or two, especially on national television. And it's going to be, well, the Knicks got hot at the right time, which is a total backhanded compliment. Well, you know, Wemby and the Spurs are going to get better. The West is the better conference. The Celtics are going to make moves, and everybody's going to discredit the Knicks and give them no shot to repeat. no shot to ever win a championship ever again, which I think is the best thing for this team because I think they are fueled, especially Jalen Brunson, by that type of stuff, by the bulletin board material, by the haters, by the doubters, by the naysayers. The Spurs were double, 2-1 favorites in this series. They opened at least. And yeah, they dominated the first quarter, but the Knicks won the second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. So I disagree with you in the sense that the Spurs lost the series. No, they just got off to what they got off to against OKC, which is hot starts, big time first quarters, and then the Knicks were able to chip away and ultimately win the series in five. So the most or the majority of the credit goes to the Knicks. And yet a little bit of it is the Spurs and their inexperience and still not knowing how to win that type of round against that type of team. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. 888-809-1019. We'll throw in a few more nines there. We're getting to that point, ladies and gentlemen. You can hear it in my voice. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is a loogie here in the late night. If you are on hold right now, we will get to you. If you want to join the show, you can call 888-808-1019. I got you for another 90 minutes, so plenty of time to take your calls. If you're headed out to the parade, love to hear from you. Knicks, mixing a little Yankees as well. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
It is After Hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019, as we are kicking off Parade Day here in New York City, beginning at 10 a.m., but really beginning way before that. If you are planning on going to the parade and you are still awake and you hear my voice, I would try to get a few hours of sleep. Keep the radio on, of course, but try to get a few hours of sleep. And get going quite early or quite late. A lot of people are going to get up and the sun is still going to be down and they're going to be heading on mass transit before 5 a.m. because it's going to be absolutely insane the amount of people that show up for this parade. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. And yeah, that's the focus, the parade. We've been waiting for this for... well, some 53 years, others a lifetime, and that is for the Knicks to win a championship. And we've been waiting more recently here since Saturday when it was announced that the parade would be Thursday. And like I said, leave early. I know people are going to be drinking. I wouldn't be drinking at 5 a.m. That's just always a rule of thumb. That's just the way I would roll. But I know people are going to be. It's going to be a long day. It's going to be a hot day. So just be careful, be safe with all those things because, yeah, the parade's going to be amazing, but then there's going to be opportunities to get in the mix, get involved after that. One would say after hours, and that is at 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, a little happy hour. Once the parade and all the ceremonies wrap up, the city, as you know, never sleeps. It certainly doesn't take any naps, and it's going to be rocking and rolling. You got the World Cup in town. You obviously have the Knicks, all the baseball, so there's going to be plenty of stuff going on in New York once this parade wraps up. And if you aren't going to the parade, I would certainly advise you not to go to work tomorrow, especially if you work lower Manhattan or you take mass transit, which is going to be completely insane in the morning commute. There'll be people on there going to work, but it's going to be mostly Knick jerseys, I would imagine, because if you have the ability to work from home or you take a sick day or an off day, it is the summer now, basically, virtually, we're a couple days away, you can really find yourself in a quite crowded, and I know they're usually crowded, but even more crowded morning commute because of all the Knick fans that will be coming into the city, and people just in general, content creators, YouTube guys and gals, TikTok bros. Everybody's going to be out trying to get contact, trying to get a taste, trying to get within arm's length of this unbelievable event. Let's go to Tom in Westchester here on After Hours. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going, Tommy?
Great. Good to hear from you, bro.
What is the first time caller, long time listener. Mm-hmm. Love you on the late nights. Hey. I drive home from my girlfriend's all the time, and you just make the ride go real quick, so appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
So going to the parade tomorrow, well, planning on going to the parade, all of my friends bailed on going with me because of, like, 5 million people going. It's going to be insane, but it's a once, could be a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yep.
So I wanted to see your opinion. Is it worth going solo?
Yes, absolutely. If anything, it's a little bit easier, Tom. Now, you don't have the camaraderie and the companionship, although you can find that there because it's going to be all like-minded Knicks fans. And when you're rolling solo, you give yourself the out. You could just be like an hour in. If it's too crazy, you could just kind of get out of there. But if you're in a group, you're sort of bounded to the group. So, yeah, I absolutely would roll solo, definitely. Because, like you said, it's just a thing that you would want to be a part of. And I wouldn't allow your friends to dictate whether you, if you want to go, and it sounds like you do, I would make all efforts to go. Now, I would get there early. But then again, once you feel like you've had enough, you could dip out.
Great call. I appreciate you. And one more question.
Yeah.
If Brunson were to retire today, would he get a banner in MSG? And I'll listen off air. I appreciate everything, Tommy.
You got it. Appreciate you, Tom. Great name, by the way. By banner, you mean his number retired, I assume? Yes. Brunson, if he retired tomorrow, would have his number retired. I heard Beningo talking about this with Evan and Tiki. He said Jalen, OG, and Cat would get their number retired. I tend to agree with him on that. Brunson's a lock. Cat, I think, is close to a lock. And Adenobi, if you ask the older Knicks fans, is the modern-day Dave DeBuscher, meaning when he arrived, it changed the entire outlook of this team and this championship run. And obviously, Adenobi, that tip-in, that iconic play to seal, essentially, the championship, because I felt like in Game 4, the Knicks won the title. And I was saying that over and over again. They won the championship in Game 4. Game 5 was just more of the coronation. Game 4 is where they won it, because had they not won that game and it was 2-2, I still think the Knicks are winning that series, but obviously they were going to have to roll up their sleeves and get to work, having lost two in a row and now staring at a series that was all tied up at 2. That ultimately did not happen, so to me, the series was won in Game 4, because when you're up 3-1, especially in which the way they came back in that game, there was no way the Spurs were going to get off the mat. There was no way they were going to find a way to extend that series or ever get it back for a Game 7 at home. I didn't see that at all. So in my view, the way I was looking at it, the Knicks had won the series in that game, in Game 4, on the Adenobi tip-in. So for that alone, he certainly deserves a lot of consideration for his number being retired. But yeah, Brunson's an absolute stone-cold lock. He's already a New York legend. I have him 3 all-time, ranked 3rd in the Knicks all-time list, right behind Willis, right behind Clyde. And if Brunson wins another championship, it's going to be real hard not to put him at 1. I know those guys won, Clyde obviously won a couple there, but so would Brunson now. And I think Clyde would agree with that. Jalen has an opportunity to be the greatest Knick of all time. He has an opportunity to just, he's going to the Hall of Fame already. He's just accomplished so much. And he's still in his prime. He's still motivated. You know that. And he's a winner. One in high school, one in college, one in the pros. He wins on every single level. And there's not a lot of guys walking the face of the earth or have walked the face of the earth that can say that they won at all 3 levels. And Brunson is completely and utterly motivated by the naysayers. It fuels him, whether they talk about his size, whether they talk about his defense, whether they talk about other players ahead of him. Brunson, I think, uses all of that for fuel, for motivation, to be the best he can be. And right now, I think he's the best player in the sport. There's nobody else I'd rather have on my team than him, especially in the fourth quarter, where he turns into Michael Jordan. He's the most clutch player in the league. And also his leadership, his will to win. Like, when you're clutch, when you have a great leader, and you have that will to win, you have a recipe to be up there with all the Jordan, Brady, Jeter, Tiger Woods, Eli Manning. Those are all the necessary ingredients to be a guy that wins multiple championships or, in Tiger's world, majors. Let's go to Steven in Stamford here on The Fan. It's After Hours, Loogie in the Late Night. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Loogie, how are you? By the way, I agree with the guy who said that you make his drive much shorter. I think I need a longer commute home because I have to drive around the block a few times in order to finish the call.
Well, I appreciate
it.
But
that. I just want to, well, it really, you make it go by in minutes.
Thank you.
I will say that I have, just to hear me out, I'm one of these guys who grew up with 80s and 90s Knicks basketball, and I could not stand basketball, NBA basketball, the last 20 years. I thought all these ticky-tack fouls, all these other guys that, you know, there was no more rebounding, there was no more defense, nobody was, everything was, you know, three-point shots, and it just wasn't, it wasn't what I was used to, it's not what I liked, it was too much, too open. And the refs usually would swallow the whistle. Jalen Brunson restored my faith in basketball, in NBA basketball, because basically he said, I don't care what the refs are doing. I don't care what they're doing to me. You call me Jalen Brunson burner? You're going to see my afterburners. He became the Terminator.
Yep.
And, you know, unstoppable. It was like he had that that stuff that they put in Wolverine. You know, it was just, there was nothing anybody could do. I think that one of the things that the Spurs didn't count on was him reaching, I don't know how deep he reached, but how unstoppable he was. Nobody was prepared for that. And I certainly think the Spurs athletic trainer might be Ray Ramirez, one of the worst athletic trainers ever, because these guys were all gassed, but not Jalen Brunson.
Nope.
He was kicking it into a high gear.
Yep, he found another gear in the fourth quarter, for sure.
I mean, some gear that I don't think Jordan had to do what he had to get through. I mean, the fact that he was mauled on a regular basis, I mean, what they did to him was illegal in basketball, it was illegal in football. And it was a major penalty in hockey.
Some of it was good, clean basketball, but a lot of those, like landing in his, putting your foot in his landing spot, or the other one where Wemby grabbed his head and threw it to the ground. You know, there were a couple of dirty plays there from Wemby that should have been flagrant fouls. So, yeah, they did everything they could to slow Jalen Brunson down, and all they did was make him mad, pretty much.
And, yeah, and all they did was basically make him the most valuable player And they should probably dedicate the trophy, you know, basically saying, hey, Spurs, if you guys were any good, you know, you'd be holding this trophy.
Right.
But thank you for making me the world, the MVP of the championship. I mean, it was such a display of guts, like that blue collar stuff. You can't stop him. He's an unstoppable force. So I think for that reason, yes, he's worth it. And again, I don't know whether or not I was five when the 73 Knicks won, but, I don't think, Willis Reed, I mean, he had to take had to go through a lot of crap apparently, but I don't think it was as one-sided abusive. Like, I'm sure he could give it as well as take it, but and a special shout out, by the way, to Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah.
I was shouting at them. God, box out. Does anybody box out anymore? I mean, Mitchell Robinson took two guys. You know, so he took two guys out of the play, including one guy who had 6 inches over him, and grabbed that rebound.
Yeah, it was
that alone.
That's kind of that unsung play there, Steve, and I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you listening to me on the commute home, and that's anybody that listens to me. I know that After Hours is a city that never sleeps. You could be going, you could be coming. I don't know where you're at as far as your commutes, but if you are listening, you're out on the road right now, you're in all likelihood coming home from work or going into work, although on a night like tonight, you might be just going into the city for the parade because you want to get there early as humanly possible. The other thing about Brunson where I think he attracts the old school basketball fan, and yeah, he knocks down three-pointers, Brunson. You have to in the league now. But Jalen Brunson also loves his mid-range game. He loves his jump shot from not beyond the arc, which is very old school. He is, Brunson, very, very much of the former generation with the toughness, the grit, the leadership, mid-range game, never-say-die attitude. And that's why he's the king of New York. Young and old can appreciate him. And I can't think of a better person and a better player to represent the Knicks, to represent this great franchise than Jalen Brunson. You couldn't, in a factory, make a better player and person to be the face of this team, this Knicks team, and this Knicks franchise. That's why I think he should be the face of the league. I think he is. I don't know if the league will go along with that, but they should, because a guy like Wemby can learn a lot from Brunson in terms of how to be a professional. Brunson's work ethic, I think, is second to none in the league. I don't think there's another player in the league that works as hard as Jalen Brunson. Because look at what he does when you consider being undersized, not being the most athletic guy in the world as far as other people in the league. Meaning, can't play above the rim, things of that nature. He's a shorter player. And when you are like that, you definitely have to work harder, but he takes it even to another degree. And that's why he has turned himself into, I think, the best player in the sport. He's certainly the most clutch player in the sport. And one thing that you can't dispute is that he's a champion and he's a finals MVP. And he threw out a heck of a first pitch at Yankee Stadium, him and Josh Hart. So give him credit for that. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. Apologies that I couldn't get to you sooner. If you would like to join the conversation, another hour to go here on After Hours, the phone number to call, 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night, here on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.